You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Let's talk some birds and a little taste of the Phils as well. Sheila Kapadia, of course, joins us every single Wednesday at this time. Sheila, of course, working for The Ringer. Great work covering the Eagles and the entire National Football League. Good morning, Sheila.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, buddy. Quite a bit. So, Sheila, a lot of directions here. Let's just do one question on Sirianni's conduct, and then we'll move to actual football. What did you make of the whole Sirianni thing from the other day?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you look at it, and he's not doing much to help the offense or the defense, and you don't know about the relationship with the quarterback. You don't want to also have to kind of babysit him and you know, in situations like that. So, listen, it was off-putting. You can't like how the first 6 weeks have gone with this experiment with putting him with these two new coordinators. So I feel probably like a lot of other people feel with the way he acted.
Do you think that if they go 10-7 and get clipped early in the playoffs, even though he'd be 4-4 in the playoffs or 9-8, do you think he's in real jeopardy getting fired after? Like, I think what he did the other day and the firestorm around the city, I don't think helps his cause in the eyes of Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman.
Oh, I agree with that 100%. I mean, you're looking at that game. The storylines could have been simple coming out of that game. Hey, it was an ugly win. Hey, you got A.J. Brown back. And it wasn't. The story is all about the head coach and his behavior and then having to apologize the day after. So to answer your question, yes. You know, I think that obviously it depends how the season goes, but if it's just kind of what we've seen so far, they sneak into the playoffs and they lose in the first round, given everything else and the way it's happened so far, I don't think that's going to be enough.
All right, Sheila, one of the reasons we love having you on the show, of course, is because by the time you're on, you've seen the film, you've dissected it, broken it down, offense and defense. I want to ask you about Jalen under center, which doesn't happen often. But first, let's play some audio of Kellen Moore, because he was asked about it yesterday. Here's Kellen Moore yesterday.
Lack of under center usage, is that something that you predicted or want, or is that just based upon the way things have flowed, or is it has anything to do with Jalen's comfortability in
I think there's an element of game plan and flow with that. Obviously, there's times where under center can be very advantageous for us. Again, trying to put ourselves in the best position to be successful as far as an offense. And obviously, with Jalen's ability to run, there is some components to being in the gun and the pistol that kind of keep that threat alive in some of those cases. But obviously, something that we put some time and effort into this offseason to utilize, and we'll continue to find different spaces to do that.
All right, Sheila, two-part question. One, how disappointed do you think Eagles fans should be that they haven't done it more? And two, what's your theory of the why that they haven't done it more?
Yeah, I mean, there are different offense. Not every offense, you know, uses under center to a high degree. Now, the Eagles aren't extreme. They use it less than any other offense in the NFL. So it is something I think they could gain an advantage from. There are things you can do with your run game and specifically the play action off of it. I mean, you see a lot of great offenses in the NFL. That's a big core part of what they do. Now, the why, I do think for some of this stuff, you have to look at what is the quarterback actually comfortable with? What was the process of melding what Kellen Moore wants to do with what the Eagles were actually doing? All of those things. Because listen, there are some things that I thought were going to change with this offense. It's not just the under center stuff. You look at the passing game, they throw to the middle of the field less than any offense in the NFL right now. And it's hard to win that way on a week-to-week basis. And so I think some of this is, hey, the quarterback has had multiple different offensive coordinators and they're still not throwing to the middle of the field. I have to assume that that's kind of a comfort thing with him and where he wants to push the football.
Sheila, can you tell, how much is it Sirianni's offense? You know, we hear him talk about in press conferences, he's now told us that he made play calls on offense and on defense, but then the defensive play call was almost refuted by Vic Fangio saying, it wasn't really a play call. But anyway, what does that look like to you? Does this offense, when it gets mired in sort of inefficiency, is that because it's getting back to what Nick Sirianni is wanting from the offense? Like, is that because Nick Sirianni is taking more control of the offense? Can you identify that?
Yeah, I was trying to look at this closely watching the film this week, and I think one thing that stands out is a lot of the issues with last year's offense, those are still issues now. Some of the stuff we just talked about, you know, they're not running plays from under center. They're not throwing to the middle of the field. So those issues are still there. However, you know, a lot of the there was crossover with some of the stuff Kellen Moore liked to do in the passing game and what the Eagles were already doing. So I think you're seeing some redundancy there, but you are seeing new stuff from Kellen Moore, and it's kind of, you know, maybe some less obvious stuff. You know, that touchdown they ran to Devontae Smith where he got free on the crossing route. The other routes on that play, it's different than how the Eagles have run it in the past, and there are other examples of that with the run game, some of the stuff you saw last week. So listen, I can't tell you Sirianni's actual involvement. You know, is he involved in planning the first drive, the first 15 plays where they can't put a point on the board?
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
In the first quarter, I don't have an answer to that. So it's kind of last year's offense with sort of, you know, sprinkling and seasoning for with Kellen Moore, if that makes any sense.
The starting fast thing, this is a new level of futility. I've never, you know, we've heard that the Eagles are the only team who hasn't scored in the first quarter. It is amazing to me, especially since having been a player and in those meetings where you see how much time and effort they invest in the first 15 plays, the starters, those starters, like they matter so much to these offensive coaches. Why don't ours ever work, Sheil?
Yeah, 22 total yards on their first drives this season. They have played five games. That's by far the lowest in the NFL. They have one first down on their first possession this entire season. Five, you know, you would think you would luck into a couple more first downs than just one. So, listen, there's also the question of kind of the cooks in the kitchen. I mean, how many people are putting those starters together? You know, what is the process for doing that? Again, they tried this experiment where you're keeping the head coach, who's an offensive-minded head coach, you're keeping people on his staff, but you're adding a new offensive coordinator, and then you're looking at what the quarterback likes. I mean, I just don't know that they figured out how to put this all together to a plan that makes sense. Now, I'm not saying that's everything with the slow starts, but I think that certainly could be part of it. Like you said, that's the biggest game plan thing you do all week long. This isn't like a thing where you're adjusting on the fly during the game or figuring it out play by play. This is something you plan for, and they haven't done a very good job of it.
Sheil, another major issue I have, and I've talked to Joe about this ad nauseum, and this is on and off the mic. Like, our two-minute offense, our ability to just pass. Like, they talk about tempo. Our coaches talk about tempo all the time. Like, we're out there running it to max efficiency. Every team I was ever on, we would practice that two-minute offense so that at the end of every half, we were cashing in. We were going, and we were scoring points. And there were no question about it. You're going, you're getting a field goal or you're getting a touchdown, and then you're cashing, like, turning right around. The second half, like, you know, your two-minute works.
It's also, Sheil, before you respond, let me just say this. Here's been my contention. This is a three-year conversation. So when John was saying this back in 2022, I disagree with him because I thought Sirianni was managing the game with a lead and was smart, typically. And I know it's hard to remember all the instances, but I thought Sirianni was typically smart about it. Lately, I think Lately, I think the issue, Sheil, is they're just not a good enough offense with Jalen Hurts, and that's why they're not better at it. Your thoughts on any of these years?
Well, I thought, you know, the drive, the two-minute drive they had at the end of the first half, I thought Jalen Hurts was playing really well on that drive, and then Saquon Barkley runs out of bounds short of the first down marker. And then Saquon Barkley fails to pick up the blitz on a play where Jalen Hurts is. I mean, Devontae Smith is running down the middle of the field. It's a zero blitz. That's a 31-yard touchdown if Jalen Hurts gets probably a tenth of a second more. And Barkley doesn't pick up the blitz. So I think you have to look at all of those things. I think there have been times in the past where Jalen Hurts hasn't made good decisions in those situations. So to me, it hasn't been just one thing, but that's what I saw this past week at the end of the first half.
Sheila, let's do one more, and let's focus on Hassan Reddick. So we saw the interesting report yesterday that if Reddick is traded to an NFC team, the Eagles actually get a second rounder. With the desperation going on with the Jets right now, I mean, they're not playing well. They just traded yesterday for Davante Adams. Do you think it's possible Reddick gets traded to the NFC and the Eagles get a second rounder?
I would be shocked if their owner allowed that to happen with how embarrassed they are with that situation and how it's played out. That if they, because I don't think they're going to get a hole. I mean, they're in a bad spot right now. So, no, I would be very surprised if that ended up being the end result and the Eagles got a second rounder. Now, I'm not saying impossible. It's possible that it happened.
Yeah.
But it would surprise me because they're just trying to save face with that whole situation.
They are. They're also trying to get the most they can. And if an NFC team offers more than an AFC team, that's got to be weighed in.
Well, but if they're giving up a third versus a second, it's all part of the equation. Yeah.
I totally get it. Sheil, good work, bud. We shall talk to you next week. And by the way, did anything from Dave Dombrowski satisfy you yesterday, or was it incomplete from Dombo?
No, I don't know that anything's going to satisfy me until we get to this time next year and I see them score more than one run in a playoff game.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going to, judge them by the press conference. It's going to be a tough spot for them next year to get the juice back up during 162 games.
Understood. Sheil, stay well, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Right,
Sheil Kapadia from The Ringer.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.